Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are still celebrating Women's History Month, but while we're doing that, we want you to know that we are keeping you all in prayer and hoping that you all are well and staying safe and not getting sick. So, but thank you for taking the time out for joining us this morning. So we want to talk a little bit about one organization that has been around for a while, started by Professor Mary McLeod Bethune, and that is the National Council of Negro Women, and I want to talk about its place in history and in the future. So this morning we have with us Ms. Annette Dix, who is the president of the Central Florida section of the National Council of Negro Women. Good morning, Ms. Dix. How are you? We're still waiting to get Ms. Dix on the air. Anyway, like I said, she is president of the local segment of the National Council of Negro Women, who's been around, I think, since 1935, and I think there's like 32 different segments across the country, and so we're fortunate to have one here in Central Florida. So are you there? Okay. We're going to check and see, because I know she was trying to get through, and try to give her an opportunity to join us and give us some background on the organization and what's going on with it currently and what the future is for it. The number, if you have questions, is, well, actually, you know what, won't be taking calls today because this is going to be a pre-recorded segment, and then but we'll, you know, have her hopefully back on at some other point where we can talk more about the National Council of Negro Women. This is G's Power Hour. We're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you?
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, celebrating Women's History Month, and wanted to bring to you some information about the National Council of Negro Women, who has its own place in our nation's history. And we have Ms. Annette Dix, who is the Central Florida president of the local section of the National Council of Negro Women. Good morning, Ms. Dix. Are you there?
I'm fine, yes. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. So glad to have you with us. So,
thank you for having me.
you're the local president, the Central Florida chapter or section of the National Council of Negro Women. Can you give us those, before we get started on what's going on locally, just some background in general about the organization?
Okay, I'd be happy to do that. The National Council of Negro Women was organized, and by Mary McLeod Bethune in 1935 in New York City. And she was, before that, she was a member of the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs. She was part of that organization. And she left there, I think my take on that is she decided that they weren't going fast enough for her down her lane, and she decided to do it on her own. And when that happened, she got involved with Mary McLeod Bethune had a vision. And my take on that was she wasn't going to let anyone deviate from what she wanted to do in the organization. So she decided that she was going to take this on her own. So consequently, what happened with that, she got involved. Now, this is going back 1896 when the National Association of Colored Women's Club was organized in 1896, So with that, she got involved in politics. Now, mind you, she was the only Negro female that was involved, and she knew how to get out and get people, organizations. That was her main goal, and she knew that if she could get organizations involved, then that would be, because that's why we are called, we're an organization of organizations. And when she did that, things started to go her way. It was a battle. It was an uphill battle, because remember, she was a lonely Negro woman. I did that. But she had people that she was so talented in what she was doing. People just flocked to her. They just said, you know, this Negro woman must know what she's doing because she's got following her. And not only that, she had, she had the president, well, we won't get that far yet with President Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt. They were very close friends of her. But she had the president before him that said, you know what, maybe we need to have her here, just one. And they had pictures of her with all of these Caucasian people around. And she's the only little Negro standing in that crowd, you know, smiling and people shaking her hand and welcoming her and the women. But her thing also was to make it available so that Negro women could have the right to vote. And that was her goal at that point. So that's what she battled. And I didn't read anything or hear anything about her having any battles where they turned her away or they didn't want to talk to her. They said that we weren't ready. You know, back in the day, it was like we didn't have the right to read, write, or do anything. But she got out there and she got the Negro women. And I emphasize Negro because that's what we were and that's how she addressed us, as the Negro women.
So I was curious about that because I did read about the Association for Colored Women first and then this happened. And so I was wondering, was there any point, you know, because we've been a long ways from using the term Negro for us now, and we've gone Black, and then in some cases now we've gone African-American. Was there any kind of discussion about ever changing the name of the organization?
Well, you know, you mean from color to African-American or Black or whatever?
Yeah, from Negro to Black or from Negro to African-American. Was there ever any discussion about that?
Yeah, I went to a convention. I made the mistake one time at a convention to ask a question because I couldn't see why we were still using the word colored. And, you know,
for
in the 80s.
Negro.
The 80s and the Negro, I couldn't understand that at all. So they politely told me that it was history, and if they changed it, then the history would disappear from the organization, and the meaning would disappear. So I never asked that question again.
Okay, I got you. I understand. So when it first started, do you know approximately how many women were involved and what the goals were, the purpose was?
Well, excuse me. And she stayed with the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs for a while.
Okay.
In 1938, the NCNW hosted the White House Conference of Negro Women, and children. And she was demonstrating to them the importance of black women in the democratic roles. Now, I put black in there myself. That's what I did. Okay.
Right.
And she played a role in getting the game approved for black women to be commissioned as officers in the Women's Army Corps. Now, I don't know. In her autobiography and everything that I've read about her, it goes back to when she was born in South Carolina. Let me add that in there, and you can kind of guess what was happening in South Carolina back in the 1700s. And she was one of 17 children. And out of 17 children, that's a lot of children. She was the one that had a – she focused on what she wanted. She knew that the Negro girl, the youth was her passion. And that's how she started the girls' school. And then she met her husband. He had a boys' school, and they got married and came together and combined the schools. That's how it became Bethune-Cookman University.
Mm-hmm.
So her goal was education. She was focused totally on the youth at that point, especially Negro girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to get them, the Negro women or girls involved in everything that was possible. And she was put in that position when she was able, she knew how to address people. She knew how to, approach people, whether they be black, white, or whatever. And she captured their attention, and everybody wanted to help her. So that's how that happened. For instance, when she got the black women to be commissioned as officers in the Women's Corps, Army Corps, I had no idea that she had anything to do with that. Also, she was created under Roosevelt, as Franklin Roosevelt, Work Administration. She also became close friends with Eleanor. So Eleanor was the one, they became very close. And Eleanor got her in places that she would have never been able to get in, most likely, in that time. Mm-hmm. And by that being, and nobody could understand, well, why is Eleanor Roosevelt befriending this Negro woman? You know, because no matter how intelligent we were, then we were still dumb. As far as the white race, they didn't think we had sense enough to come in out of shower rain. So when Eleanor kept introducing her to different people and bringing her into meetings in the White House and got all of this, so until the people said, you know, maybe this lady can be beneficial to us, which they really didn't know how beneficial they would be into our race.
Right.
When they took her in as a speaker or a leader of certain things that Roosevelt was trying to do. So her goal was to get everybody involved that she could in the black race. That was her goal. And the way she did it, she started visiting different organizations and writing letters to different organizations. Excuse me, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to say the NAACP and the, maybe, I'm not sure, there was another organization, and I don't think it's still in existence now, but the NAACP was one of the first organizations. So what she did, she encouraged them to get other organizations. Then she went to the sororities. You know, when the sororities became popular, she got those people involved and the church groups involved. And everybody that she could think where there was a group of women together, she went and she talked to them and she got them involved. Again, that's why we're called the Organization of Organizations. So we have the church groups, we have the sororities, and you have, excuse me, and you have the, like the national organizations, like the NAACP and all of those other organizations, 100 black men and all of these people are part of us. And they support us 100%. So Mary McLeod Bethune had a way about her. And she had a way of, if she thought you didn't know how to behave, let's say, that in a certain setting, she mm-hmm. had her way of getting you to behave the right way, you know, because she was, again, from 1896, when the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs was organized, they traveled all over, you know, Massachusetts, New York, everywhere, and she had the attention of everybody except some of the people in the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs. And I'm thinking that maybe they thought that she was being too aggressive and she was going the wrong way, and some of them chose not to follow her. And as a result of them not following her, it became two organizations. She left and became the National Council of Negro Women and then the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs. So I think, without sounding too braggadocious, I guess you could say, that the National Council of Negro Women went on to become one of the most celebrated organizations in America. Black organizations in America. And so since the National Association is the oldest black organization, I think it's like 120-something years old now, still going. But 1935 on up until she died, she really, really kept this organization going. And her husband, she intimidated him, I guess he thought, until they divorced. He could not tolerate her aggressiveness in her belief in what she wanted to do for her people. She was all about her people, and again, especially the youth. So they eventually divorced. They had one son, and they eventually divorced, and she went her way, and he went his. And I don't know, you know, she has a granddaughter in Daytona up there somewhere. I think she lives in Daytona, yes. So Mary McLeod Bethune has been a great, great help to me, that I am so committed to this organization because of the things I've learned since I've been involved in it. I would encourage anyone, you know, like if you want to get involved in an organization that's doing great things, the National Council of Negro Women is the way to go. And if you don't mind, I like to say that she has a last will and testament that she left. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay. She left a last will and testament. And just a couple of things that she said, I leave you dignity, racial dignity, and I want Negroes to maintain their human dignity at all costs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And she has a statue in Washington, D.C., and on that statue is her last will and testament. So if you're ever in Washington, it's in Lincoln Park. She's facing Abraham Lincoln. What they had to do, they had to turn him around because they wanted him facing her.
Mm-hmm.
So they turned him around so that he's facing Mary McLeod Bethune. I thought that was real great too, that they did that.
So now, talk a little bit about the expansion across the country, because I know that had to be quite difficult. And then, how many members currently do you have as a part of the organization that you know of?
Oh, overall organization, I'd say about 3 million.
Wow, did not realize that. That's pretty big. That's huge.
Yes, it's huge. It's huge. Yes.
So now, what kind of, in the early years, you were talking about, you know, one of the things that you were doing which is really important right now, is trying to, I guess, get out the vote and making sure that Negro women were a part of the process. So talk about, a little bit about that challenge, and were you working with, was NCNW working with other established white organizations or any other organizations?
No, I wasn't, except, you know, like the Democratic Club, you know, that's the Democratic Club, but that's it. No other organization. I would volunteer from time to time, but not to become a part of the organization where I would say I was a member or whatever. No, but we, the ladies that's involved in the Central Florida section, well, I knew that we needed something in this area that our people could go to or could become a part of and make a difference. And I'm just going to say in the Central Florida area, because that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I learned one thing since I've been in Florida, that you can't get everybody on that track, because people just don't, I'm not saying they don't care, they're just not interested in, well, it is what it is, and when it's time to vote, or when it's time to fill out the census form, or when it's time to go, well, we'll do it maybe if we want to. So to try to get those people involved, to try to get them focused on what we need or what you need in your area. For instance, one of our focuses on in the Pine Hills area, because we meet at the Pine Hills Community Center. And so we realized that when we started meeting there, that there was a lot of issues in that area that we as a group, as a section, could make a difference maybe. But you've got to have the tools to bring the people together. And you just can't walk up to them and say, "Hi, my name is Annette, and I'm a member of the National Council of Negro Women. Have you heard of them, and would you be interested in coming to a meeting?" They would say, "No, I don't think so." Or they have things at the community center, community outreach, and they invited us to be a part of that. And you'd be surprised at the people that would come in, because they had like a vendor type thing there. And they said, "Oh, what is this?" And I'd say, "It's the National Council of Negro Women. Are you familiar with the National Council of Negro Women?" "No." I went, "Really?"
Wow.
So then I would ask them a question. "Are you familiar with Bethune-Cookman University?" "Yes." "Oh, then you're not familiar with Mary McLeod Bethune." "No." "Oh, well, tell me." Someone would say, "Well, tell me, I didn't realize that." And these are people that have lived here in Florida for years.
Wow.
So they never connected Mary McLeod Bethune with Bethune-Cookman University. I said, "Oh,
how did that happen?"
"I don't know. I really don't know how that happened." I said, "How can you not know that she's that's part of Mary McLeod Bethune?" But then you get the people that are here from Haiti, Jamaica, you know, out of the country that maybe have had the time or didn't take the time to try to find. Maybe they have children that went to Bethune-Cookman University. I met a young man at the center that he graduated from Bethune-Cookman University because he was going to her husband's school, and they transferred. That's when they became a co-ed school, when Bethune-Cookman became a co-ed school. And he said, He said, I graduated from Bethune-Cookman. I never knew anything about Mary McLeod Bethune. I went, oh.
That's amazing. That is strange.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. Because if you're going there, you think at least that would be kind of one of the key lessons that you would learn while you were there, is the history of your school.
Yeah, you would think that an orientation when you first get there, that would be one to tell you, you know. But he said, I said, oh, honey, I am so sorry that you didn't know that. I said, but we're here to inform you of anything you want to know about Bethune-Cookman, Mary McLeod Bethune. He said, I thank you so much. I didn't know. And he was like, I did not know. I said, oh, don't worry. It's okay. It's okay. Now you know.
Yeah.
So that makes a difference, yes.
We're going to take a quick break. We are here with Ms. Annette Dix, who is the president of the Central Florida section of the National Council of Negro Women. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Ms. Annette Dix, who is the president of the Central Florida section of the National Council of Negro Women, and we are celebrating Women's History Month with her and talking about the history of the National Council of Negro Women and Mary McLeod Bethune, who was the founder of the National Council of Negro Women. And I wanted to ask you, what type of activities is the National Council of Negro Women in Central Florida involved in?
Well, excuse me. This is we're called the New Kids on the Block because we've only been in existence for 2 years. And,
oh, wow.
We got our charter in 2017. And so trying to get ourselves established in the community, I'm thinking there was another group a few years back before we don't know what happened to them. Washington does not know. They've kind of drifted apart and went their own way. So then we came along and we wanted to start another section. And so that's how that happened too. It takes a while, you know, to get. So we started out because you have to have at least 50 members to start a section. There's so many other inside things you have to do, you know, to get going with that. There was the state of Florida and Washington and all these things. So it takes time. But we finally got it together. So we're called the New Kids on the Block, and we're going. So far this year, we're having, again, since Mary McLeod Bethune was so adamant about the youth, we decided that was going to be one of our goals, to concentrate on the youth. Now, we have a collegiate group at UCF, and I got involved with them. I finally got to meet them and connect with them, which is great.
Mm.
And I think it's absolutely wonderful. And they are wonderful young ladies that we went to they had a tea with Mary in February. And they invited us, that section, to come, and we went to support them there. Mm-hmm. So that's, they said to me, Ms. Dix, can we please come and you support us, I said, by all means, honey, we will support you any way that we can, because if these young ladies are willing to take their time to organize, to follow the rules and regulations of a national organization, which has nothing to do with their school, it's like, okay, we need to focus on these young ladies and help them any way we can. So we're involved with them, and I'm happy about that. We're going to celebrate our second anniversary, which should have been in October, but things kept happening. And we're not absolutely sure we're going to do this next month because of what's going on with the virus and everything. So it's going to have to be postponed again. So we're celebrating our second anniversary. So, again, it's the youth. And this time it says the Central Florida section is, the title is Full Steam Ahead. And it's
okay.
The STEM, you know, with the STEM, and we have a speaker coming. So that's what. So we're trying to get the schools involved. And it's not easy getting the schools involved. You know, we have one of our members at Carson, her job is to contact the high schools and try to get the teachers involved, you know. And and we're in Lake County, and most of our members are in Orange County. So she's trying to talk to the guidance counselors and the principals and everything to get the kids involved in this STEM program. So hopefully by the time we have our event, that will be one thing that we can do. We also concentrate on things like the census. It's very important that we know about how important it is that we understand how important it is for them to participate in the census and fill out the forms or whatever has to be done. Do it truthfully. Don't hide anything, because when you don't do that, when you do that, then you're cutting off your community, your area, your schools, everything can be affected by the count that they don't have. So I had someone to come in and from the Census Bureau to explain that to the people. And you'd be surprised at the questions they ask that you just take for granted you don't know. You know, it's like, okay, they were so happy about that. And I was too. I feel that we needed to know that. And the other thing was the license, your license, to get them changed. Because if you don't get those license changed, then that's going to count as your ID for everything. You know, your driver's license.
Right.
So I said, okay, we have to do that. So those are the things that we're doing right now because we're so new in the community, and because we're trying to get involved you've heard of the Groveland Four?
Yes.
Okay. So Stephanie and I, we attended some of the meetings. They had a roundtable discussion in Orlando and tried to get involved in that, you know, because it's horrible what happened to those young guys. And but you again, people aren't familiar with the National Council of Negro Women. When you say the National Council of Negro Women, oh, really? Oh, where is that organization from? And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Okay, so I said, then I start all over again. You know, are you familiar with Mary McLeod Bethune? I figure everybody should know who Mary McLeod Bethune is at some point in life. And
yes, you're in Florida for sure.
It's really a full-time job trying to get out there and introduce yourself to the National Council of Negro Women, to the community, and trying to ask you, can we come to your church and just make an announcement, you know, that we're alive and well, and we would invite some of your, even men can become associate members. You know, it doesn't have to only be women. So it's kind of, I don't know. It's like, I really, really don't know what it is. I haven't figured that out yet. But
think maybe since the Civil Rights Movement and the Civil Rights Act and stuff like that, that people have just kind of I guess figured maybe your time has come and gone, and aren't realizing that your organization is still active and still behind certain important issues.
That could be. That could be. That could be it. I know when I, the first time I was, excuse me, in the National Council of Negro Women, because I was a member, then I left and came back as a member. But I didn't, so many things I didn't know that the National Council of Negro Women taught me about my people and what was happening, not only in New Jersey and the surrounding northern areas, but in the south and like the Mississippi Delta and places like that, that people have no idea what's going on. But I don't know whether the people, we don't have time for that. I don't like organizations. You know, they think all you do is meet and eat, you know.
Yeah.
I said, no, we don't meet and eat. We don't meet in each other's homes. You know, we have a public place that we meet in. It's strictly business. So the child then it says, oh, I would love to come. And then you invite them to come, and then they might come to one meeting, and then, oh, well, I really don't have time. You know, you have some kind of excuse. But then you have those women that come, and they're very, very interested in the organization and what's going on and what's going on in Washington.
Okay.
We have a very active part, you know, of what's going on there in Washington. So when I meet somebody like that, I'm thrilled because I said, oh, wow, somebody really knows about the National Council of Negro Women. They need to know about Mary McLeod Bethune. I insist on them knowing something about Mary McLeod Bethune. Her birthday is in July. Last year was our first year celebrating her birthday national. It's one of the things that nationally that ask us to do is sections to celebrate her birthday in July. And
mm-hmm.
so we did that last year for the first time. And we did that at the library. And it turned out very, very well. So then the people that's not familiar with Mary McLeod Bethune, they'll come and they'll sit in there and go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, wow, I didn't know. You know, and I said, okay, that's why you need to become part of us so that you can join in and help to promote the National Council of Negro. We need that so bad. We need not only the sororities, but you need an organization that anybody can become a member of, you know.
Right.
Average person, you don't have to be a college graduate and you don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer and this stuff. You just need to say, I'm willing to work. I'm willing to abide by the bylaws of the organization. And that's what it takes.
With this year being an election year, are there has any of the focus of the organization shifted in terms of what the priority is for your activities this year?
Yes. Well, the one thing we know that we are focused on getting somebody else in the White House, and reason being is for the last 4 years. It has been a disaster in the White House. So the one thing we can't do as a national organization, we cannot support, like, one candidate. In other words, we can't just say, okay, the whole organization is going to support Joe Blow or something like that. We're not allowed to do that. You can do it individually, but you can't
mm-hmm.
do it as a group. So you can come together and discuss what the matters are and what's important to us as a people and to us as the United States and what's ahead of us, you know, what's going to happen if this White House remains the same. You know, is it worth us not participating? Is it worth us sitting back and saying we're not going to vote? Oh, I don't vote. You know, it's okay. My vote don't count. Yes, it does. Your vote counts. Each vote counts. Trust me, it does. So for you to sit back and say, no, we're not going to vote, please don't do that. Just come out and vote any way you want. I don't really care how you vote as long as you vote. That's what's important. So when as an organization, again, we can't we can't say, okay, we're going to get behind, you know, Joe Blow and support him. We can't do that. As individuals, we can. But we can discuss what we feel is good for us as a nation, what we need. Like, we need health care very, very, very bad. Okay, so we can discuss that, health care. We need Social Security. They want to cut that. They want to do away with some of that. I don't think that the Social Security is for everybody. I don't like that. That's just my thought, okay? But then maybe there's people out there that agree with that. But we need to discuss that and make up our mind is before we get to the poll.
Right.
Tuesday is primary day.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to come out and vote on primary
yeah.
day. We must vote. We have to. If we don't, we'll end up in the same position that we're in now, and that would be a disaster for us as a people.
So voting and the census are the two big things this year for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take our final quick break. We are here with Ms. Annette Dix. She is the president of the Central Florida section of the National Council of Negro Women. We are celebrating women's history on G's Power Hour. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweeper is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dimp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we are here celebrating Women's History Month with the local president, Central Florida president of the National Council of Negro Women here in Central Florida. And I wanted to ask you about the efforts or the trying to get younger women involved in NCNW and the challenges that you might be facing in doing that. What you would perceive to be your average age range?
Well, we can start as early as 8.
Really?
And that's what I'd love to do. You at that age, you can take the youth in and you can train them. Some of the children have not been involved in anything. They don't know anything but their immediate surroundings, and you can just say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start this way. We're going to start that way. From 8 on up until age 18.
Okay.
That the youth can be involved. So I would absolutely love to get have a youth group. Now, we have a third vice president, but according to national bylaws, we can only, the third vice president can be, I think, from age 28 or something like that to 35, and she would be in charge of the youth.
Okay.
Well, not that easy for finding somebody that, you know, in that age bracket that,
right.
That you okay, this is your responsibility as third vice president to take on these youth and encourage them and just teach them the simple things of life. You know, just if you had to teach them how to sit down and cut a piece of meat, I'm just thinking about manners and stuff like that when they're so
right.
young that they have not had the opportunity to do that. But again, and you hope that when you, as they mature, as young ladies, that you can encourage them to go to college, okay? And then in college, like we have, I told you, we have the collegiate group. We have lots of collegiate schools over the state of Florida. UCF just happened to be the one closest to us here. But you have them in Tampa and St. Pete's and FAMU. So Florida is really good with collegiate groups, and the sections support them, which is a great thing. So the youth, again, Mary McLeod Bethune, love for the youth is what we're trying to do in our section. And with the members that are into, how can I say this, the members that are into, yes, we need our youth to be involved. We need to teach them about the organization. We need to teach them, show them that they can be anything they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
All they have to do is put their mind to it and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is exactly what Mary McLeod Bethune did throughout her life from a young girl. That's what she said. I can do anything I want to do. And when she set her mind to it, that's what happened. And in one of her, the last woman testament, she said, five things, faith, courage, brotherhood, dignity, ambition, and responsibility are the things that we need to focus on. And those are the things that we need to focus on with our youth, that they're responsible, to be responsible, to have faith, be courageous, and be ambitious. If you think that you can be a Michelle Obama, that's wonderful. You know, you got to find your husband, you know, like President Obama, you know. But
mm-hmm.
And you want to be, put your mind to it and say, I'm sure when Michelle was in elementary school, she didn't think she was going to marry the President of the United States at that point. But
she probably had her own aspirations for other things, you know, not thinking that that was going to happen.
Exactly. So we can we have good role models out there that our children can look up to and say, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to be a first lady, or I'd like to be a district attorney, or I would like to be the best brain surgeon in the world, you know, those kind of things. So these are the things that we need to come together as groups and instill in our youth, that you can be anything you want to be if you put your mind to it.
So now, you say you have your collegiate group. So do they? Is there at some point that they automatically transition into the senior group or whatever? I don't know what you call it, but is there some point where they can automatically transition into it, or do they have to reapply, or how does that work? And
no,
you said also
yes.
too, they
and
would
once graduate,
they would probably
mm-hmm.
be. You also said too that they would probably be of the age range maybe where they could help recruit the younger people.
Right, exactly. Once they graduate, they're like already like 21, 22 years old, something like that. So I've talked to them and tried to encourage them, like, when you graduate, it doesn't mean that you're finished with the National Council of Negro Women altogether, because we have some members, quite a few, one young lady from FAMU, one from Howard, that graduated from Howard. She was in the collegiate group there. And they were so interested in the National Council of Negro Women that when they moved back to this area, they went online to find out if there was a section in the area. And sure enough, we were here for them. So I invited them to come to a meeting, and they came. And it was, I think we had like four or five of the young ladies that have graduated and moved back to the area and wanted to be a part of the adult group. So all they have to do is just graduate and say, okay, I want to transition, I guess, to us, if you want to call it. And just they become members. They pay their membership dues, and that's it. And then, again, you said that they could encourage the other young ladies to to become part of. That's the bottom line. But they still have to be 25 or 26, something like that, in order to be an officer to do that. But in my mind, it doesn't matter whether you are third vice president or not. All you have to do is know people that you can talk to that would get them interested in being part of the National Council of Negro Women. So that's what we're looking forward to, that we can do that. We need young people. We need them desperately. We need them to come in so they can learn from us and from the organization what it's all about and take over. We can't be here forever. So
right,
I'm for young,
exactly.
I'm for young people, okay?
Right, right. So now, what types of things do you get involved with in terms of collaborative efforts with any of the African American male organizations? I know you mentioned like 100 Black Men and some others. So I didn't know what activities do you do in collaboration with any of those other organizations.
So far, we haven't. But
okay.
I know you said
you're a young group anyway here in Central Florida.
Yes.
So
yes, I have my mind now. I would like to talk to the Masons. I found out that the Masons can be very, very supportive of organizations. I had that experience back in New Jersey, and the Masons were absolutely wonderful. They didn't want anything. They just, whatever was going on, we support you. We believe in what you're doing. And said, okay, so that's one group I would like to get involved with, you know, talk to and get them, see if I can get them interested in supporting us, you know, to be there for us. We need male, because the youth will consist of, I don't think we want to do all women and say to the young men, oh, sorry, you can't be a part of us. No, we need, if we're going to train the young women, we need to train the young men how to treat the young women.
Right.
We could use, you know, men like that. So, no, we have not had that opportunity to meet them or to get involved with them, but those are in our plans to do.
So now how can people, if they want to get in contact with you or get in contact with the local section, how would they go about doing that? And are you on social media also?
Yes. We're on Facebook. We're on Facebook. And or they can go on, they can Google NCNW, and it'll come up and it'll ask a question, you know, I think something like looking for a section in the area, what area, or they say I'm looking for a section in the Orlando area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a phone number you can call or you can email them and they will send you. Excuse me, we got a lot of people that was interested in the section by doing that, because once you do that, just Google ncnw.org.
Okay.
And that will come up, and you can answer, are you looking for a section? I think that's how it stated, looking for a section, and you just click on that, and it'll probably ask you where you are or something like that. But it's very easy. Or there's a phone number that, you know, you can call if you're interested in talking to somebody. And that's my phone number, area code 352-223-0978. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that anyone has about the section and about the organization as a whole.
Ms. Annette Dick, thank you so much for taking the time out and being with us this morning and talk about NCNW and its impact on the local community. And we're going to post all of the information on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, but we wanted to celebrate your organization and glad that there is a local section here in Central Florida, and really appreciate you taking the time out. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
And thank you all for being with us. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. Have a very blessed day, everyone. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Thank you.